today on Real Life Radio.
In every situation, all over the world, no matter what the level of affluence might be, God will have people in a church that's in need. And if need be, it could even be an angel that tests the personality and the heart of that church. There may be somebody here who's in need in this world that you and I live in, and God brings them because he's testing our hearts.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. This December, Pastor Jack Hibbs is doing something a little different and a lot special. All month long, he's offering a double feature Book of the Month, two very powerful resources to help you finish the year strong and step into the next year spiritually grounded. First, Pastor Jack's annual favorite, the One-Year Bible. Every year, lives are changed as people discover how simple and doable it is to read through the entire Word of God in just a few minutes a day. Also, Pastor Jack's going to include his brand new devotional, Watching, Waiting. It's a 40-day journey designed to help you slow down, look up, and recognize what God is doing in your life. So, this December, why would you choose one when you can get both and grow deeper? Visit jackhibbs.com to get your December Book of the Month double feature, the One-Year Bible, and Pastor Jack's brand new devotional, Watching, Waiting. They're available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. Again, that's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Going Public, Part 3, continues his series, Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. Now, the Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do, and above all else, we gotta love the way Jesus loved. So previously we learned that for the believer, the term going public means that what we believe about Jesus Christ is really worth sharing. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when his message of love is revealed, well, it can save those who are lost in sin and rescue a dying world. Our whole identity is really tied up in him. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that as believers, our hearts need to be in the fight for lost souls. It's going to take surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit and using the gifts that God's given to us. But reaching out to others and sharing our faith, even in just practical ways, really is the greatest thing we can do in this life. And now, in his message called Going Public, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And so he says, regarding this life of the believer, look at verse 9, he says, be hospitable. Hospitable to one another without grumbling. Isn't this remarkably practical? The word hospitable, it means to be open heart, watch, open heart, home and hearth. You heard me right. It means to be open-hearted, open your home, and turn on or open your hearth. That means your will is to do hospitality. God says that to every Christian. We're to be hospitable. And we're to open our home to brothers and sisters. And we're to feed them the hearth. This is Christianity. If we don't do this, we fail in the simplest thing. And when you go back 2,000 years ago, this could save your life. Do you remember the Christmas story? Joseph and Mary, they get down to Bethlehem and they didn't know what to do because they could not find any place in the inn. Middle East hospitality was to open the doors. But when you became a Christian, this scripture applies to the itinerant preachers, the ministers that were on foot. They didn't have the great cathedrals or churches that we have today. They went on foot. Listen, Paul the Apostle, Peter, James, John, they went on foot. They traveled and they went from where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. How did they do that? On foot, horseback, camel. They went like this. And when the sun was going down, they looked for a place to stay. By the way, Jesus said it this way. If you go to a town and they won't hear you and they don't receive you, what did Jesus say? He says, shake the dust off your feet of that town or that village. It's going to be more tolerable for them. For Sodom and Gomorrah will it be for them in the day of judgment. Just shake the place unworthy, walk away from it. Wow. Wow. But when you were in that day, in Peter's day, you needed hospitality to stay alive. And traveling Christians and traveling Christian missionaries needed that kind of hospitality. And the truth of the matter is very, very powerful, because he's telling us that we need to love in very practical ways. And I don't think there's any other kind of love than to love practically. Don't tell me you love me, show me. Don't you think God says that to us? Love you, God. Oh, awesome, great. Then Jack, can you go across the street and tell your neighbor and give your neighbor that? Well, I mean, you see, don't talk to me about it. I'm sure God says to us, don't talk to me about it. Show me. James, the book of James is all about that. Book of James tells us that by our works, the world's gonna know that we believe. So James the apostle, he was known in church history. By the way, you know when he died, it was reported in church history that when they prepared him for his burial, they said his knees were, they were as camel's knees. His knees were so scarred and calloused from praying. James, the author of the book of James. And the whole book of James is about this to the believer. Don't tell me you're a Christian. Don't want to hear it. James would say to us today, I'm deaf. I can't hear anything. I have no ability to hear you, but I'm going to move into your house, and for 30 days, I'm going to live with you. And then at the end of 30 days, just by watching you and watching your life, I, James, will determine if you're a Christian. That's what the book of James is all about. Don't tell me you're a believer. Show me you're a believer. You see? And so as believers, we are to be hospitable. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That's pretty sweet. And honor, giving preference to one another. That means coming in and out of the parking lot. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, patient in difficulties, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. You guys all do that. You're awesome. And giving to hospitality. Open heart, open home, open hearth. Hebrews chapter 13 gives you a little bit of incentive. This verse, we've mentioned it before. It's always shocking to me though, because can you, as best you can, look around at the person that's near you right now. I mean, when I say such things, the person's looking away from you so you see the back of their head. Just kind of look. You can do it. Some of you refuse to look. I'm looking at you. You refuse to look. Not going to do it. The reason why I wanted you to do that was in light of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. Is there a stranger seated next to you? For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Could you imagine? Who is that guy? See that guy sitting there? I've never seen him before. What if? I thought an angel would smell better. I thought an angel would dress better. Different hair. You don't know that. Some unknowingly have entertained angels. Wow. Could there be an angel in here? Spying on the service, testing the body, testing the church. The other day I was reminded, look, just for the record, I moved to Chino Hills when it wasn't Chino Hills. Okay, just for the record. Lisa and I bought our house for a little over 90,000 bucks. Okay, it's not my fault it's paid off. It's not my fault we've been in it for 30 plus years. But when we moved out here, nothing was around here. And people move and things happen, and this has been a blessed community. And then Greg Norman comes to town and builds his PGA West Volano, which is just an eighth of a mile from my house. Which, what does that do to the price of your home? It just lifts everything up. So then when you drive up Peyton Drive, what do you see on Peyton Drive? You see Bentleys. I saw a Ferrari last night going home. And I'm, true story, maybe you saw me. No, maybe you saw me. They were driving a fantastic Italian import. I was driving my highly tuned German import. Brand new Ferrari without plates heading up past me, and I was right behind them doing the best I could in my 1967 Volkswagen Bug. But I turned left to my street, and they went up ascending to the hill. What am I saying? That in every situation all over the world, no matter what the level of affluence might be, God will have people in a church that's in need. And if need be, it could even be an angel that tests the personality and the heart of that church. There may be somebody here who's in need in this world that you and I live in. And God brings them because he's testing our hearts. And we need to be loving and hospitable. In 1 John 3:17, the Bible tells us, whoever has this world's goods, do you have this world's goods? You say, Pastor, I'm poor. Do you have a cell phone? Pastor, I'm poor. Do you have more than two pairs of shoes? Think of it, right? Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother, Christian, in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So, you know, the other day, there's been a campaign, and I love it. People are, by the way, people are asking all of across the nation and some internationally. You know the sticker, the cross you put on the back of the window? People are going to the office and they're putting on their cars. We're bailing them out. People are asking for them. And remember what the deal is. When you see the sticker on someone's car or skateboard or whatever it is, you're supposed to pray for them. That's the deal. When you see the sticker, you pray for them. And can you imagine? You see someone, flat tire, off to the side of the road, and they have the sticker on the car. Cross. They have the cross on the car. You pull up and you pull down. Window goes down. You all right? Got a flat. Oh, I see you go to church. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, amen, praise the Lord. All right. See you later. Oh my gosh. How dwells the love of God in you? How can that be possible? What, are you out of gas? Yeah, it's a bummer. Man, it's hot out here. Yeah, it is. I'll pray somebody brings you a drink or something or picks you up. Oh, that's cold. And then the word grumbling, great word, means muttering, murmuring, complaining. Obviously to grumble, the word means moan. It means to turn sour. You ever seen somebody sour? Christian, sour. They just turn sour. All of a sudden it just happens. Yeah, so anyway, it just happens. Why? Because what's implied here is that, all right, I'll be hospitable, and they're hospitable, and they do not endure in their hospitality, and they turn sour. So the Bible is saying, be loving toward one another and don't grumble about it. Nothing worse than that. In 2 Corinthians, this is great. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, but this I say to you, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. In other words, you throw a little bit of seed out there, you're just going to get a little bit back. That's fine. But if that's what you want, that's fine. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Hey, you love big, you're going to receive big. Love little, little love. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Oh, man, necessity. Well, the pastor preached it, so now I got to go do it. Oh, don't. No, Bible says don't do that. Just don't do it at all because it doesn't count for you. And then he goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word is actually, we get the word hilarity from this word, cheerful. Hilarious. Now, don't do this in church. But when you give prayer, time, money, whatever, don't go, woo, I'm going to give. Wow. Woo. You can be like that on the inside, but you look like an idiot on the outside. Don't do that on the outside. But God looks on your heart. If you can't give with joy and excitement in your heart, with understanding that you're doing this for God, whatever it is, then don't do it. God says, I love a cheerful giver. Yes, I love that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
One time in this church is almost 30 years old. One time in this church, there was someone who came and was in the old industrial building, and there were tithes and offerings. And at the end of the service, the guy was so upset. He was so disgusted. He was so convicted. He said to me, I want my money back. Now, number one, think about the heart of this. The heart was thinking, I paid for this? I paid for something different. If you want to have a show, go to the zoo or something, right? Or, right? Go to The person had no concept or idea. And so I said, I want you to tell me exactly what you gave. And we made sure in that moment he got it exactly back. Why? Because his heart wasn't there. You can give $1 or 1 hour in service and be grumbling about it, and it accounts to nothing in eternity. You can give $1 or 1 hour with joy, and it might as well be gold in eternity. It's a matter of the heart. Well, I gave $1 million. Well, if you say it like that, there's probably not a good heart to it, right? It's all about the heart. I gave half my life to this cause. Did you know? The heart needs to be right and to love one another. And then secondly, church, look at this. Look at verse 10. Going public is having a heart that's in the fight means that you're going to go with what you have. It's the fact that God is responsible, church, for your Christian effect. A moment ago, you raised your hands, confessing or professing that you're a Christian. Then please, by all means, I want you to grab onto verse 10. I'm sorry, it's extremely personal to me. I have lived my life dependent upon verse 10. I mean it. And I hope it matters to you as well. Verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Look at the verse carefully. As each one, participate. Who are these people? Say it again louder. Us. Has received. Look, I'm not a grammatical genius, but I know that the word received is past tense. And guess what? It's even more profound in the original language of the Bible. Every Christian who's born again with the Spirit of God dwelling in them has received at least one gift of the Holy Spirit of God, at least one gift. That's what this verse means. Every Christian has one divinely given gift that is given to them by God. Listen, here's where it gets uncomfortable in here. For the good. For the Christian who can raise their hand and say, I'm a Christian and I'm a follower of Jesus. You would even say, I'm submitted to his lordship. Then it is incumbent upon me to ask you, what gift or gifts did the Holy Spirit give you that you're operating in the body of Christ? I'm completely authorized and legitimate in asking you the question. Why? Because every Christian has at least one gift. Gifts listed in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this stuff, for those of you who we don't know each other, if you knew the backstory to this church, you'd be as shocked as I am right now. Shocked that I'm standing here, shocked that you're here, and shocked that any one of us who are on staff serving you are the vast host of 1,000+ volunteers that makes this church happen. You'd be shocked if you knew the backstory of us. Because you know what? It's the same backstory that you have. And what I'm saying is this, I don't have sales capabilities. I never went to the Tony Robbins School of Influence. Are you hearing me? God calls his people out of the grip of hell, gives them eternal life by putting his Holy Spirit in them. And then until we go home to be with Jesus, he equips every Christian in a local church with certain gifts that are divinely deposited by the Holy Spirit's sovereignty in the life of a Christian. And then it is incumbent upon you to do those gifts, to exercise those gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. And if you don't do it, you're only practicing spectator Christianity and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You must know this. I'm just talking to the Christian. And I'm going to, by God's grace, hopefully help you with this. Each one has received a gift. Most believers have multiple gifts. But there will be a primary gift. You say, what are you talking about? It's divine. It's not based on human talent. So a moment ago, I picked on this Tony Robbins guy. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I understand he's a speaker, motivational guy. He has the gift of gab. He can sell things. He can talk. Oh man, we ought to make him a pastor. He'll be great. Oh man, he'll flop. And then somebody looks and says, what can that bozo do in life? And then God's Holy Spirit comes upon them, and like Samson, they can tear down an army with natural appearance, but with supernatural strength. Are you with me? This is the Christian life. God, you, Christian, has deposited past tense already in you. And my question is, do you know what it is? You should, because it should be operational in your life. Why isn't it? If today you don't know what your gift is, you want to know why? It's because the Lordship of Jesus Christ is lacking in your life. See, what do you mean? I mean this. You've never said, Lord, here I am. You do whatever you want with me. You say it, I'll do it. And God, I just heard that sermon today. Never thought about it like that before. Saw it in the Bible. I can see Jack's not making this up. I can see this right here. So God, I'm gonna ask you, show me what my gift or gifts might be for the church, for the edification of the body. God, show me.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Going Public, Part 3. And you know, like the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. Remember that one? So it's not just what we say, but what we do in service to others. Going Public, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, we want to invite you to what will be a dynamic evening. I promise you, every time we have had Seth Gruber with us, who's probably the leading voice on the pro-life movement, Seth is going to be with us for 90 minutes of Happening Now on January 7th. That's a Wednesday night, starting promptly at 7 p.m. Pacific time. 90 minutes, make sure you're in attendance. It's going to be a tremendous time, and you're going to want to hear the cutting edge arguments, the cutting edge technology, the cutting edge answers of what's going on in the preservation of life with our good friend Seth Gruber from the White Rose Resistance.
That's Happening Now with Jack Hibbs and Seth Gruber. Join us online Wednesday night, January 7th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Don't miss it. For more information, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
So, Pastor Jack, we have listeners all over the world. And this Christmas season, anything special you want to say to those folks that, you know, spend some time with us as Real Life Network folks?
Yeah, I mean, it is our hope. I hope people have come to realize this, that we're not in this for the show of it, for the microphone of it, for the light of it.
Yeah.
We're in this for the Word of God being placed in the hearts and minds of people. Mm-hmm. We take that extremely serious. And so I hope if I could communicate anything to our audience at this time of the year, it would be, we value you so very much that we haven't even met you.
Yeah.
We know that Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach this gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, right? In the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he said, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I think one of the key points to having Jesus with you is doing his business. And his business is for this audience to be well taught, to know that we are as much as we can be in this world, that we're with them. I know that we're limited in time and space, but we can communicate via these platforms of media that we want them to be strong in Jesus.
Yeah.
And know his word. And don't let anybody or anything take that from you. Because economies come and go, seasons come and go, but the wealth of knowing Christ and being invested in his word can never be taken from you. And so I think it'd be good for us to just pray right now. Always, always good to pray no matter what. And Lord, we come before you and in our nation and in our country and in our state and our culture, in our churches. Lord, we have so much going on, and much of it, maybe all of it, could be a distraction. Lord, we pray that you'd streamline our hearts, that you just settle our nerves. Lord, that you would just cool, as it were, by the wind of your Holy Spirit, the weather that is inside of us. And Lord, that you would cause there to be a deep-seated reliance upon you, a rest, a Shabbat, a Sabbath, of soul in the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with him. And Father, we pray that we would enjoy you more now than ever, mm-hmm. as the waves, as it were, begin to rage in our culture and the sky is darkening. Lord, may we be able to stand bold and strong in you, because you are the one in whom we stand. And we, Lord, get to be bold because you are bold. You are the King of Kings, mm-hmm. and the Lord of Lords. And for us, that will be enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.